You're listening to Microphone Check Hip Hop from NPR Music. I'm Franny Kelly.
Ali Shaheed Muhammad.
And we're here with
J. Cole. Cole World. Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you for
What's
coming.
What's up, brother? How y'all doing? Thank you for having me, first of all. Anytime I get to be in this building, it's a crazy feeling.
Well, this is a big week for you. You're really busy, huh?
Yeah, I am. I've been busy for the past couple of weeks just on promo mode, but this is album release week, so yeah, it's particularly crazy and hectic, and you don't get a real free moment, but it's all good. It's all for the cause. You know what I mean?
As an artist, I don't know. Explain your process. Like, you go in, you do an album. Is it that you get like a concept before you begin the process, or is it you just?
Well, I can only speak to this album because my first album was not really like my second album, which is Born Sinner, is really more like my fourth, because I dropped a mixtape called A Warm Up, then Friday Night Lights, and those were like albums, and then I dropped my first album. But those were such weird processes. Like, they say you got your whole life to make your first album.
That's true.
But that's not true for me. Like, that's not true for this generation anymore, because I had to give so much of my life on the mixtapes, you know what I mean? On
right.
The first two. So by the time my first album came along, it wasn't a true making an album process. It was like, okay, I got these songs left. I just did these. It was more like piecing together something as opposed to this album. Now, this album, I could speak on the process. I didn't have the concept. I just had energy and ideas and, like, passion. And I just start spilling out beats, looping up things. Sometimes I wouldn't even finish a whole beat and just spilling out words. So what I did on this album, which I think is what's going to happen for the rest of my career, is I just start spilling things out and then wait till they take form, you know what I mean, into something. I see like a common thread or something. And that's what I did on Born Sinner.
Well, I was at the listening party.
Oh, nice.
And I texted Ali as soon as I heard Forbidden Fruit. I was like, did you know about this? So how did that happen?
That was the last song I did. That was the last song I did right before I turned in the album. I literally had 2 days to turn in the album. And there's one song that I did, and it didn't get cleared. They would not clear the sample. And it was because Jimi Hendrix owned, like, a piece of the song. It wasn't even his song, but he owned a piece of the publishing from the group or something, like a tiny percent, and they would not clear it. So I needed something to go in that spot to fill that void. It was, like, the point in the album where it kind of switched to, like, not a happy vibe, but, like, it was less dark and it moved more. So some reason, I don't know what I was doing. Maybe I clicked randomly on my iTunes, or maybe it was playing somewhere. I heard Electric Relaxation. I was just like, oh, man, what if? You know what I mean? Like, what if I could just do it my way? You know what I mean? It's such a classic, and people are so afraid to touch classics. And I was just like, what if I could flip it? So I just went and found the original sample. Ronnie Foster record. I looped up the sample, and then I noticed right away something I never noticed before. I guess I noticed, but I was like, man, the time signature on this is so wild. Like, the fact that, like, y'all even put that together is crazy. But then I got even more excited, because I'm like, as a producer, this is going to be fun. Like, A, to put my flip on it, you know what I mean, as opposed to, like, trying to recreate the same feel.
Yeah, that's what I like what you did. You didn't like, try to do what was already done.
Right.
Like, you brought other parts of the sample that you caught that I was like, oh.
Right.
Nice.
That's dope, man. Hearing you say that, I'm like, all right, cool. Like,
took a little sip. Little sip. Took a little sip. Took a little sip. Took a little, took a little, took a little sip. Yo, I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, where niggas hold texts like they mad at the ref. That's why I keep a cross on my chest, either that or a vest. Do you believe that Eve had Adam in check? And if so, you gotta expect to sip juice from the forbidden fruit and get loose. Cold is the king, most definite. My little black book thicker than the Old Testament. Niggas pay for head, but the pussy so separate. Same bitch giving brains to the minister. The same reason they call Mrs. C the finisher. Forbidden fruit, watch for the Adam's apple. Slick with words, don't hate me, son. What you eat don't make me shit. And who you fuck don't make me come. Put a price on my head, won't make me run. Try to kill me, but it can't be done. Cause my words gon' live forever. You put two and two together, cold here forever.
Everything just seems very, like, you know, beginning, middle, and end.
Right. Yeah, you know, you're right. I try to I take this seriously, you know what I mean? Like, I really care, you know what I mean? And like, you know, songs like Forbidden Fruit, where I'm flipping that sample, it's like, I care about this. I wouldn't want to, like, disrespect, you know what I'm saying? Just the game and the culture. Like, it's funny because I've actually learned through the album, like, because of what I had to go through on my first album just to put it out, which is like I had to, like, find this single that would work, you know, in order for the label to be like, all right, come on, we'll give you a release date. But I'm actually grateful for that because it made me so much stronger. But it's funny because, like, I now possess the tools as a producer and a songwriter to really just go out and make smashes all day long. Mm-hmm. Like, I can make an album full of just smash records that got pop appeal, that have, like, whatever. But, like, my heart is in hip-hop. My heart is in, like, telling stories. And, like, this is, like, therapy for me. A lot of these verses on this album was literally, like, therapy. I hadn't even talked about them. I just write them down. So it is well thought out because I do care about this. You know what I mean?
It always seems like you just like, you know, like you just going at people. You know, I don't know if there's necessarily a person or it's just the general feeling of like having to prove something.
Yeah, I just always feel like it's always people out there that's like doubting me. You know what I mean? Even though I do embrace the people that like embrace me and I'm grateful for them, but I always feel like, man, there's still people out there that's not giving it up, and I feel like I'm doing everything the right way, you know what I mean? Like I'm really going out of my way to do it the right way. You know what I mean? I'm taking very few cheats, very few cheat codes
right.
that I'm using. You
right.
know what I mean? I'm really trying to stay true to the art form and just to the craft. You know what I mean? The craft of doing this, because that's gonna inspire the new generation to do the same thing.
Yeah, you're not going for the cheap applause. It's like everything is really, really raw. And
thank you.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Well, thank you, man.
You know, and to see your growth, it's interesting to hear, you know, from your perspective, from, you know, the warm up to like where you are now, that you're saying like, well, those weren't my first records, but you know, to someone like me, I don't look at a mixtape as sort of like a warm up.
Right.
You know, I look at it like all of that is steady growth. And I was just wondering, you know, from the beginning, like what your, when you wanted to get into the music business or you wanted to make records, like what was the drive?
I think it was just like a passion. Like I found my calling. Like I found something that really made me happy. Like I'll tell you what drove me, the response of people. When I first started rapping, mm-hmm. to when I switched my style to like a more like punchline style. This is when I'm like 13 years old, and I switched it to like this real wordy. I was trying to rap like Cannabis and like Eminem. It was like real lyrical, real wordy, and punchlines. And like when I would come up with these punchlines and spit them in these ciphers, the minute the cipher would be like, oh, and everybody would break away, it was like a new feeling for me. It was like, oh, yo, you see what I just did? Like, I was addicted to that feeling, like that response, and I still love that feeling. I love the reaction, you know what I mean?
So you trying to really speak to, like, what's your upbringing? Am I, you know, asking for a reason?
Both my parents were in the military. Mm-hmm. My mom got out when she had me. My parents were divorced by the time I was even conscious. Like, I don't remember them ever being together. So my first memories of life were in, like, this real stable neighborhood that, because it was military quarters. So, like, I remember being, like, three.
You grew up on a base?
I didn't grow up on a base, but that was my first house that I remember being in.
I lived on bases.
You live on base? So you know,
yeah,
it's like these real...
They just let you go. You can do like whatever you want. It's like
really
the most
safe.
Safest place.
It's really safe, right? And I was thinking about this lately, like, or recently. So you got this really safe place, and I'm too young to even know what safe was, but I guess my parents' divorce was finalized or whatever by the time I was about like four. So all of a sudden... So, you know, my parents are divorced, so my mom can't stay in this military house no more because it's only for, like, family or whatever, or for, like, married couples. So next thing I know, we're in, like, this trailer park. And when I say trailer park, this is not, like, Eminem 8 Mile, like, white trash trailer park, like, the stereotype you're thinking about. Nah, this is the hood. Like, this is the projects, but just in trailer park form, you know what I mean? So even though I was four, I was very aware of, like, yo, this is so different from where we was just at. You know what I mean?
So did the environment, how was it impressionable on you? And like how did it kind of like sculpt you into being?
I think it made me super observant. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It made me super, because I was smart enough to know that, like, man, I'm not going to get into this. Like, I was, like, 4. I went to the park. My brother went to the park, too. It was our first time in the neighborhood. And it's a silly story, but it just tells you where the mindset of these kids was at. And this was, like, 89, you know, 90 or whatever. And we get to the park, and I climb up the slide. And they're like, yo, I'm trying to slide down the slide. They're like, yo, what you doing? I'm like, I'm trying to go down the slide. They're like, yo, you got to be in the gang to go down the slide. These are little kids, man. And I'm like, well, all right, well, what you got to do to be in the gang? They was like, you got to jump off the top of the slide. So already these kids were formulating, like, that mentality of, like, yo, we got a little gang. Of course, it ain't that serious, but it tells you where their mind was at. So, of course, I was smart enough to not, like, as I'm growing up, I was smart enough to never really partake. But I was also coming from a world where it was like, I was observing. Like, I saw the difference. I don't know if that makes sense.
No, it
makes
sense.
Like, I'm always looking at things from an observer standpoint.
So then do you liken, you know, I guess that experience from, you know, let's say, like, Sideline Story to Born Center. It seems like, you know, you kind of, like, went along with the gang, in a sense.
Yeah, yes.
You know, and then, you know, you were able to get your own footing to understand the environment.
Yes.
And now with Born Center, it's just pretty much like, I'm writing the new rules. There's no, like, your rules don't apply to any aspect of anything here. So,
yes.
I mean.
No, that's true. Okay. It's almost like I'm observing myself, you know what I mean, on this album. And a lot of my music is just self-observation, like telling you, like, oh, man, what did I just do? How much did I just pay for this chain? Why did I do that? Wait a minute. Let me talk about that. Or, like, the temptation. Let me talk about that. Let me observe myself. Sometimes in my music, I'm observing other people, friends, stories, or, like, you know, maybe somebody just in passing. But this album is a lot of, like, self-observation, you know what I mean? And, like, breaking down the layers of myself.
It's a lot. It's really honest. And, you know, as it's kind of hard for me to detach, you know, the fact that I'm 42. You know, I've been involved in the music business for a long time. Yeah. You know, but in the younger generation, like, you guys have your own story that's amazing. You know, like, the life challenges are amazing. Like, we feel like, you know, we've gone through some things, but no, each generation
has their own,
and it's just because you're not shielded in the way that the generation was before you from certain aspects. So it's like the rawness.
What do you mean, like, shielded from what?
Just any aspect of life, because it hasn't unfolded.
Okay. Yeah,
so it's unfolding as you're, you know, whatever age you are, you're new in history. So anything that was learned before that people didn't know, you're getting good, the bad, the unknowns, all of that. So then you're growing up. It's the same thing with technology. You got a kid who's like 2 years old who's like this on the devices.
iPad,
So I'm thinking about the fact that your music, like, for example, I think, you know, you talk about hookups, you know what I'm saying, and just, like, you know, it seems like random smashes and just, like, enjoying a life and just it is what it is and accepting it. But then when you have, like, Power Trip, it's like that song is so based in love.
Yeah.
And I think that I love the raw honesty of it.
Got me up all night. All I'm singing is love songs. She got me up all night. Constant drinking and love songs. She got me up all night. Down and out with these love songs. She got me up all night. Drowning out with these love songs. She got me up all night. Yeah. Down and out with these love songs. She got me open all night. Got me open all night.
Okay, back when I was sleeping in my mama crib, or even back when I was up there in my homie crib, paying $1,700 for the rent, money well spent. No heater, but a nigga made heat. May I vent? Had a thing for you. Even wrote the song Dreams for you, cause I had dreams for your thoughts of a ring for your childish shit. You know childish shit. Anonymous flower scent. You know coward shit. Now a nigga signed a hoe, took a power trip. Back home, I'm grown now, and the city's my throne now, huh? The same clubs that I used to get tossed out. Life got crisscrossed, totally crossed out, cause now I'm in this bitch and I'm totally bossed out. Old chicks crying cause they know that they lost out. But I'm still on you, I'm still on you. My drinks spill on me while I fell on you. I'm saying.
But one thing I want to say about Power Trip is, like, rappers are so, like, it's been, we, like, 20 years now of rappers having to be, like, the coolest, most fly, most macho. Like, Biggie was so cool. Like, he could do no wrong. You can, you know, Biggie was what you wanted to be when it comes to, like, being a ladies' man,
right,
or how he talked. Like, Jay-Z, same thing, like Mace. And I feel like Power Trip and even Dreams is, like, it explores another side that, like, I feel like a lot of rappers won't show, which is, like, yo, what if you're just shy? You know what I mean? Like, yeah. What if you just don't really have the balls to holler at this particular woman? You know what I mean? What happens then? Like, why is nobody talking about that? Well, guess what? I'm going to tell you about it because I know what it's like to be that too. You know, yeah. I know what it's like to be that person. So, you know, a different level of honesty that I feel like I have been trying to, like, bring to the game. And it's
you're doing it.
You know what I mean?
It's you're beyond trying. Like, thank you. I want to know, like, who's the bass player? Who's the keyboard?
Oh, yeah, I'll tell you all that.
Like, I mean, it's just, like, everything. In North Carolina, was it very musical?
I didn't grow up, like, around, like, church and where people was playing.
So what were your musical influences?
My mom and my stepfather brought, like, the hip-hop side and, like, the R&B from, like, you know, he'll play as Marvin Gaye or whatever the case is, but he really brought me the hip-hop side. And then you have my mom who was bringing me, like, classic rock, you know what I mean, and folk music. I'm talking Peter, Paul, and Mary. For everything from Peter, Paul, and Mary to Queen to Eric Clapton, and then to the modern stuff. So Red Hot Chili Peppers at that time, Counting Crows, Smashing Pumpkins. She was playing all of this. And at the time when you're a kid, I'm like, oh, come on, Mom. Like, why are you playing this? Like, it's not cool to me. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is white music. You know what I mean? I'm too cool for that. And then, one thing I'm grateful for is, like, nah, man, that really seeped in my pores. All of that music did. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like, now that I'm older, it's like I have such a greater appreciation for all that music.
I love the way that you marry pretty much all of that. Word. It's just like, you know, it has just like alternative kind of like real loungy but dark, you know, but then you got like, you know, the hip hop, the hardness, the soulful, everything moves melodically, you know, like it just,
thank you,
just feels good.
Well, thank you, man. I'm grateful that I did have a wide range of like influences. You know what I mean? I started playing violin in the fifth grade. They had a program at school. And even though I never mastered it, I didn't take it too serious. I can read music now, but I didn't practice enough to really master it. But I just being in an orchestra every day, you know, even though it was just a school thing, it really taught me about music more than what I knew at the time. Like, I didn't appreciate it, but, like, how to even count notes and how to read music, you know, I have that background, you know.
So how do you listen to music, like? Because you sample a lot. I mean, are you always listening? Do you dedicate a certain amount of time to work?
Yes, absolutely. I just found we was at Cheesecake Factory the other day. It was just, as soon as we sat down, there was a song playing. I'm like, yo, what is that song? I'm asking the dude, like, yo, what's the app, Shazam? I'm like, yo, you got Shazam? Can you please find this for me? He didn't have the app, and the music was too far away, so I ran in the bathroom. This conversation is actually reminding me that I got to go get this song. So I ran in the bathroom, because you know they got the speakers in the bathroom, too. And just wrote down as many lyrics as possible so I could Google them later, you know, and I found the song through Google. So I still now talking.
What was it?
I'm not going to tell so they can steal my sample.
Yeah, yeah. Can't get that out.
I can't give it away because then they're going to steal my sample. But it's crazy, though. The sample's crazy. So I'll do something like that, and, you know, I'll add that in the sample stash.
What do you work on? What's your main piece?
Simple now. It's Logic. I just got Logic and a USB keyboard.
Okay.
And some headphones, man. That's how I made Power Trip.
Love your production skills.
Thank you, man.
You don't get enough credit.
Man, they don't give me no credit, but thank you, man. Maybe now that you say it, they're going to give me some credit.
It's like, it's remarkable.
Thank you, bro.
It's just, it's because it's so complete.
Thank you, man.
It's so complete.
Thank you. I've worked hard on it because I'm a competitor. So the same way, even though I'm a rapper first, I have an equal passion for production because I do it. I'm not going to be bad at anything, and I want to actually be the best at anything I'm doing. So if I'm playing basketball, if I'm taking the SATs, like, there's a competitive spirit behind it. So with production, it's the same thing. At first, it was just like, okay, I want to be good at this, but I really just want to make songs. I think in the past, like, 4 or 5 years, it's gone from, like, nah, I want to show people that I can outproduce some of these producers that they, you know, same way that I feel with the rap. I want to show you I can out-rap your favorite rappers. I want to show you I can out-produce your favorite producer. So I'm constantly getting better. And I understand that there's always room for growth, especially in quality, sonic quality, you know?
Who is, in the song Born Sinner, you mentioned Tiffany. Who is Tiffany?
Tiffany was this girl that I went to elementary school with who was the first person that I ever knew that got killed. So that's why I even brought her name up in that song, because it was the first time that, like, somebody dying wasn't just like on the news, you know what I mean? It wasn't just like in a movie or something, like it was somebody that I was actually in class with, you know what I mean? This girl was here yesterday, now she's not there, you know what
I'm
saying?
How old were you?
Maybe second grade.
My God. That's pretty tragic, you know, for the youth. And I know a lot of, it just seems like every other day on the news, you know, you just some young kid dying.
Yeah.
You know, and then you see, they go to the schools and you see the kids, you know, like, you know, shedding their emotions or whatever. And, you know, the shock, there's a shock value, and there's some is just like a numbness to it. It's just kind of like happens all the time.
Right.
And it's just really heartbreaking.
Hey. Spinning in circles, live my life without rehearsal. If I die today, my nigga, was it business? Was it personal? Should this be my last breath? I'm blessed because it was purposeful. Never got to church to worship, Lord, but please be merciful. You made me versatile, well-rounded like cursive. Know you chose me for a purpose. I put my soul in these verses. Born sinner, was never born to be perfect. Sucker for women licking their lips and holding these purses. Back when we ran the streets, who would think we grow to be murderers? Teachers treated niggas as if they totally worthless and violent and hopeless. I saw but never noticed that a college point is right to be all that you can be posters. Rest in peace to Tiffany. I don't know if this the realest shit I wrote, but know the realest nigga wrote this and signed it and sealed it in an envelope. And knew one day you find it, and knew one day you come back and rewind it, singing.
I'm a born sinner, but I die better than that. Swear, you are always where I needed you to be, whether you were there or not there.
Love this song. I mean, just the mood of it and just everything. It kind of like goes through a journey from the beginning to where it ends. And I love the born sinner. And then what do you say? Die better than that?
Yeah, I'm a born sinner, but I'll die better than that. That line is crazy.
Yeah,
I didn't
crazy.
Write that's James Fauntleroy who wrote that line. That's when he did that hook, and I had those two verses over that beat, but I didn't have a hook. And I happened to be in the studio with him. Because they was working on Rihanna. I was like, yo, James, I got this joint. You know, let me see if you're feeling it. And he was loving the raps. It's exactly what I was going for and what I was trying to say in the theme of the album.
It's very heavy, and I love that. It's such a heavy line. It just starts off the record that way, and it ends it off like...
Yeah, man.
You set a tone.
Thank you, man.
You know, like, I don't know what to say.
Thank you, man.
I mean, it's just exciting for hip-hop right now to have an album like that. You know, amongst... For me, I think what's been missing in the most recent aspect of hip-hop is simple little word called love. And I think that people kind of, I don't know for what it is, just maybe a way, you know, society is and people are raised and not really surrounded by love, or it's just so much of a thing that you don't really reflect in it enough.
Yeah.
You know, and with your record, the fact that you sprinkle a lot of love into your record, man.
Thank you, man.
Like,
thank
because
you, man.
It's woven in love, and it's woven in, you know, geez, questioning these situations of life and just, you know, being young, and this is what our life is. It's about money. It's about going hard to get things. It's about, like, yo, should I be doing that? You know, what's better? What's out there for me? And I think the way that you deliver it is kind of like where blues artists were, where Tupac was, with certain, you know, certain writers.
Yes.
Certain artists. Just,
man, that's, yo, you saying this, man, I'm over here like, God, thank you, man.
You know, so if you maintain that, you're going to be great. And the fact that the climate of hip-hop right now, it's just like, yeah, I understand being celebratory and being, because life may be somewhat, there's certain hardships, and it's just better to just kind of like get drunk and get lost and
right,
forget things.
Right.
But at some point, you know, you numb yourself out and you're not making any growth. There's no growth and you're not changing. You got to really look at your surroundings and go, what am I doing wrong?
That's real.
You know, you can't continue to blame these adversities, and
yes,
you gotta take control of the situation.
And I love even you bringing up that point, because I never looked at it like that, but now that you're saying it in terms of the theme of love, it's like Born Sinner, that's a song all about maintaining a relationship and love all, through all these other hardships and when you're supposed to fail. So it's like, it's just dope that you even, you put me on, and it's helping me clarify the album. You know what I mean?
Love it. You know, I don't know more to say. It's just like, yo, it's such a pleasure. It's such an honor to have you up
you,
here.
Man.
It's such an honor to have, you know,
thank you.
Just continued doing everything that you're doing.
Thank you, brother. Like, I will, man. I will. And I'm just excited, man. You even saying these things, man, it's an honor, privilege, and I just, like, I don't even know what to say, bro. Like, thank you. You breaking it down for me. I'm like, damn. Thank you.